What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on. I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550.
Okay, Hard Knocks, the Tush Push, the Protector of the Year, the onside kick from the 36? 36?
Huh?
They're moving it a yard up to give you a better chance of recovering it.
Oh, I guess I missed that detail.
1 yard up.
I didn't know that. The seating. That went.
There's probably a better explanation, but it does kind of seem like a lame move when you think your bill is not going to pass, and you're like, all right, pie. You're not going to vote on it then. Fine.
Yeah. I'd love to.
You're not
going to
go out with me? I didn't ask you.
I would love to know how. You know, the way it sounded, right? All the big reporters, it felt like we're like, well, there's a lot of momentum behind this Tush Push thing getting banned. And I wonder who exactly it was that was feeding them that. My guess would be it was people in favor of the ban,
yep,
hoping that, and I'm reminded of one of the first all conversation about elections that I remember from when I was working at the pizza place. This might have been like Mondale and Geraldine Ferraro. Okay, so 80s. And
okay. The show has never sounded older than right now.
A guy that I work with said, like, I don't want to vote for the losing side.
Right.
And I like, is someone in the league, like, it's going to pass. It's going to pass. Get it out there. It's going to pass. Hoping that people who like were kind of neutral on it were like, well, I'll just go with the more people. I'll go over there.
The cool kids.
It'll look better if the vote is more of a slam dunk. And if we're going to lose anyway, I'll just go with that.
Yeah.
Like I wonder if any of that logic actually was used as part of this whole process. I mean, I wouldn't put anything past anyone there, but it's interesting. Like both of those things, the seedings and the Tush Push, were thought to be sort of Goodell pet projects, right? So much so that I think we talked with Sal yesterday about how Detroit was sort of propositioned by the league. Like, why don't you come up with a proposal about the seating? And, you know, we'll get some people behind it for you. And both of those, the Detroit thing doesn't even go to a vote, and the other thing loses anyways. And I don't know. I don't know if that means anything to Goodell's position here, but they were also supposed to talk about an extension of his contract, and that also got pushed off.
I wouldn't be surprised if there were a number of teams that hadn't made their minds up until today. Because I've had a tough time with that. I mean, I'm not as immersed in this one play, but, well, maybe I am. Maybe some of these owners are. Just found out today. What are we voting on? What's going on? What's the plan? What's the schedule? Is there food?
Right.
I've had a tough time picking a side on the tush push. Yesterday, I came around to, yeah, let's not ban it because it'll be too hard to officiate, or just harder to officiate, and I'll have another thing. There'll be another new thing that we just argue about all the time. Yeah. Well, no, that wasn't actually a push.
The defender pushed the player into his quarterback. It wasn't. It'd be like goaltender interference in hockey.
Yes, that's right. It could end up sound, and that's one of the worst rules to understand.
No question.
In sports.
Yeah.
So that was where my head was yesterday. Like, no, I don't really want a ban because I don't want all this new stuff explained to me and just whatever. It's 1 yard, you know. Go ahead. But then I was online this morning, of course, because that's the law. You have to be online all the time. And either this morning or last night, Ian Harditz had a tweet that may or may not have been, like, sincere. But he said, with a picture, he's always got, you know, images with it. And he said, ban the tush push because it's dumb. And I sort of related to that.
Yeah.
I think it's dumb.
Back
to banning it.
That I still think is at the core. At least for me, maybe a lot of people in the league, they can't exactly explain what the injuries, pace of play,
yeah.
These things that have. There's no empirical evidence to back any of that up, really. It's just simply you're cloaking. I don't like how it looks in stuff that is maybe more credible than I don't like how it looks. Doesn't feel
it's dumb.
Right.
It's
dumb, right. That has been the case, I think, all along. And I actually subscribe to that. I think it looks ridiculous. So I'd like it gone. I'm not mad today that it didn't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll end up helping the Bills that they can still do it because they were pretty damn good at it. We'll see. Isn't it interesting to consider whether they'll still do it? Like, if McDermott's worried about injuries and safety of players, right, and that have not happened yet, on the usage of this play with them or anybody else who's doing it, is he going to not call for it anymore because he's worried about, like, is he going to be too prideful? Or is he like, well, it's okay to still do it, so we're still going to do it. I sure hope my center doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, good question. They did vote against it, the Bills. They were not one of the teams. Well,
they voted for the ban.
Yeah, right. For the ban. They were not one of the 10 teams to oppose the ban. So, yeah, I wonder, you know, how strong are your principles?
Right.
I'll sneak Josh Allen all the time. Just not going to push him. Not going to help him. Does that make sense?
I do think one of the – well, I don't know if it – I liked Jeffrey Lurie talking today, the owner of the Eagles, about exposing quarterbacks to more injury without the – if you're doing just normal quarterback sneaks. There have been plenty of quarterbacks through the years. Ben Roethlisberger was one. Later in his career, I don't know when this started for him exactly, and I don't remember if it was predated by concussion trouble or anything, but he wouldn't sneak. Just didn't want to do it. Wasn't comfortable. I don't know if it was exposure to head injury specifically, but Lurie made a point today, like, this – not only is this play not unsafe, reversing it, taking it away, could result in exposure of more quarterback injuries on the play. And, you know, that I don't know how much proof there is in that, just like there isn't any proof to back up what McDermott was saying at the owners' meetings. But I thought it was an interesting thing to think about, at least.
Was it Philip Rivers who would never do it?
He's maybe another one.
Rivers, last 6 years of his career, I don't have a breakdown, but he averages about one rushing attempt per game, maybe a little less. It's right near one per game. And I don't know.
Maybe like, I'm confusing Roethlisberger with him. I felt like Roethlisberger was on that thing
one,
too. But.
One rushing attempt per game over 6 years on a team that won a lot, and that would include kneel downs. There's not much room for a quarterback sneak in there if you're rushing one per game and it includes kneel downs. Your kneel downs can be two or three, halftime even.
Right.
So he maybe just never did it. And we talked some about that and him at the time. Allen was coming in toward the end of Rivers' career. They would have met in a playoff game, right?
Yes.
And so here you had this proliferation of running quarterbacks, and not just Lamar Jackson, you know, to the house, but Allen running over people and just like Hurts and what he how he plays. 42 rushing touchdowns for Jalen Hurts, 33 from inside the five. Like almost all his stuff is this. Like it's just short yardage and it's almost unstoppable. So how Rivers would not sneak, you know, you'd see people point out how much of a disadvantage that was to his teams. Even Warren Sharp, who was on our show yesterday, is tweeting today about how successful a play it is. 84% success rate, throwing the ball, handing the ball to your running back. It's in the 60s. You know, more teams should do it more often, tush push or no tush push. Mm-hmm. So that's still there. But, you know, yeah, to if you're the Bills, to just on principle, I bet they don't. The main thing I think would be what's the number one thing in football? Like, we just don't want to be predictable. We're not going to run our good plays because then you'll know what they are. So we'll I bet there will be tush push action. Mm-hmm. I know you love it. In the final year of the stadium. Maybe it'll be the last play ever played at the stadium. Right. You know, game on the line.
Yeah. I do, like, I don't know how much, cop to not enjoying this conversation. We've had it, you know, intermittently here for more than a year, I think. It's been, this is the second off season, I think, at least, spending some time talking about this play and whether it's should be allowed or whatever it is. The Eagles themselves, like the team and their social media accounts, pretty good stuff today. Like I do like the facet of this that pits, you know, the Packers as the bad guy, if you want, in this scenario, and the Eagles, and like their Eagles social media is tweeting a picture line of scrimmage lined up for this play, and it's the Packers that are the team that's on defense, and the caption says push on, stuff like that, I think. And they may have even put out on a YouTube channel run by the team all of the tush push attempts from like whatever over the course of three seasons or however long they've been doing it. So I do like that. I like teams tweaking one another like that. So we got that at least, and the Packers do play the Eagles in Week 10.
All the teams that the Eagles play, except one, voted for the ban. Detroit. Detroit was the only team that plays Philadelphia and said we're fine with the tush push. We're not going to vote to ban it. So that's kind of interesting. Also, whether it's a coincidence or not, I'm not able to figure out why it wouldn't be. But all the teams west of the Mississippi voted for the ban. Maybe it's like an East Coast thing, you know, it's a brawler thing. Philadelphia fits the image. I would like to see, so the Eagles open the season with Dallas Thursday night. I'm sure this topic will, of course it will come up and might be talked about a lot. How about first play?
Right.
First and 10, take the ball if you win the toss. You lose the toss, Dallas is going to give it to you anyway. Let's see it. Let's see a tush push on the first play.
There's been a lot of that about this Packers game with the Eagles in Week 10. Like just line up and do like just
see if you can get a first down on four tries.
Yeah, just do it the first time you get the ball. Just run it. If you need it fourth down, run it again, and then you know start your regular game.
It's time to figure out ways to play action off of it.
Yes,
right. That formation with Philadelphia we talked about yesterday, where like how do you actually stop this, and does the quarterback need to be pushed at all really with this? Legislating it seems like it could have been really hard, the reason we talked about a minute ago. You know, just sort of sprint A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith or Curtis Samuel here to the sideline, jet sweep, whatever it is. Figure out some way to outrace, because it's so obvious they're all bunched up in there with you. Like they feel like there's no threat. because this is so likely to be the play, maybe we can figure out ways to trick it up.
Yeah, start using, I mean, I know you want the biggest guys, right? The Bills have used, I think, Mac Hollins, who's a receiver. I guess, you know, him running with the ball in his hands, he's not here anymore, so that's disqualified. But, you know, a tight end, you know, someone big in the backfield. You want weight there, right? So you don't want it to be a little guy necessarily. But if you can find a good mix of a guy that you can use when you run the play, that's also an athlete enough, like fast enough that you trust him to get around that edge, then start using it when you're doing the push. And then, you know, an obvious alternate to that is to hand that guy the ball as he's coming in, you know, he's coming in motion anyway to get behind the quarterback, have the quarterback snap the ball, give him it and see if you can't catch him. So yeah, let's get some variations going.
I have the one request that Philadelphia first play of the season, see if you can get a first down on a series using only this play. Let's really see you lean into the whole tush push survives bit. I'd also like to see one team, you know, hopefully one that's losing a lot, only onside kick. And I'd like that to be the Saints or the Browns. maybe the Saints, maybe it's a little risky for a first-time head coach. Is it too much of a... Is too sarcastic of an idea? Probably. But if you're going to let me run an onside kick, if I'm down 3-0 in the first quarter, I'm damn well gonna. I want the ball. Like I want to, or I'd be down like 7-3 because I just kicked the field goal. I'm still losing, but I'm kicking off.
Right.
All right. It's a work in progress.
Right.
Just spend the entire summer on onside kicks. I don't know. Is there anything left to produce, to invent? When it comes to the onside kick, kicker is there for a while, or putting the ball in different angles, you know, kicking the side of the ball.
Right,
or whatever
laying it on its side and having it spin like a top as it goes.
That's
toward
a good
the,
one.
You know, a little harder to field, that kind of thing. So I did not realize. I know what I read was only the headline. I never clicked on anything, so I didn't know about this 36-yard line. If folks don't know, right, they're going to allow you – it's been restricted to the fourth quarter, and now what they're saying is anytime you want, but you still have to declare it. Right, you can't just spring it on someone. So you gotta make your intentions known, but you can do that anytime you want, and you have the advantage of an extra yard.
The extra yard.
I did not know about the extra yard.
I wonder how they came up with that. Is there some like what would there be historically? We didn't have this before. Maybe somebody.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looked at onside kicks and just sort of, I don't know, like you would be able to do now, move all the players on the receiving team back a yard or something and see like what a collision might have looked like, or just maybe you just move the kicking team up a yard like they ended up doing. I don't know. Some way of simulating that and being able to demonstrate this would help? Or is it just a, why don't we try a yard and see what that looks like? I don't know. You can't with the NFL, you can't send it to single A to experiment. You can't send it to the American Hockey League
right.
for a season to have it be experimented on. Single A baseball, I mentioned that today, the Florida State League starts a new thing where they're going to use technology to determine whether you swung the bat or were able to check your swing.
Okay.
Bat tracking technology. Right. So I know you're excited about that. You want to take more of the human element out of sports.
What am I going to do without that shot, that quick cutaway from the scene at home plate to the first base umpire who's standing there with his hands on his hips and then just gives the clean or you know, the fist?
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that. So I'm assuming that's gone.
Yeah, that would be gone. If that ever made the majors, that would be gone.
Right.
David Cohn, by the way, had the best explanation on a check swing that I've ever heard. Because I guess it's like 45 degrees is the number. Mm-hmm. So if you're past 45 degrees, then you swung the bat. If not, then you didn't. And you know, you think of a play where the batter would never get to 45 degrees, you know, just barely starts the swing, but the ball hits his bat and just sort of bounces foul or something like that, like on a check swing, that would be one that would never be called a swing. And David Cohn is like, that right there is the thing. If you can make contact with the ball, that should be counted as a swing. If the bat is on your shoulder, mm-hmm. we're fine here. If you move the bat forward and the ball hits it, that should count as a swing.
Regardless of the 45 degree angle.
Right.
Yeah.
And
right.
It also would, you know, simplify things.
Yeah.
But that's not what we have.
No.
What we do have is Hard Knocks, which is very cool. Anybody not think so? Like, there's no debate to have over whether this is going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Maybe the Bills wouldn't be as excited as the fans.
I definitely come down in favor of fun. Because what is it? I don't like fun. No, I like this idea. I think it's a great opportunity for people who don't get even as close as we get to the team, and we're barely closer to the team than fans, but a little bit. We have opportunity. This is an opportunity for everyone to sort of take a ride inside behind the scenes, and I think that's awesome. I love this kind of content. I'm growing weary of it because there's so much of it, and I don't know, you know, it's mostly sanitized to an extent, like certainly the team produced stuff is to a point where you can barely even take it sometimes. But even that, I still find myself compelled to watch that sort of content. Anything that is, you know, in the moment, you know, even if it's weeks later, behind the scenes at the draft or whatever, I love that stuff. I just hope nobody has a Joe Shane moment. I just hope nobody makes a jackass out of themselves on it. You know, like that's it. It's a little bit of a high wire act to that extent. And it's not that we really knew Shane in the moment was going to look like, you know, be made fun of for saying, I don't want to have a $40 million quarterback handing the ball off to a $15 million running back or whatever it was he said. It took until, you know, because I think me being on the running backs don't matter train, I'm watching it going, well, that's pretty blunt. But
he's right.
I respect it, you know. Problem is when your $40 million quarterback is Daniel Jones, you're in pretty tough. And then so Barkley goes on his way and does what he did with Philadelphia, and it's just every yard he gets, every time he hurdles someone backwards, the Giants GM just looks worse and worse as it goes. So it can take months to find out somebody has made a fool of themselves on that show. I just hope the Bills come out of it.
Is that even what he really did? Like, it's totally defensible what he said. And yes, he was, what you're saying, you know, a certain percentage of fans, I guess, he was criticized for it. But he wasn't wrong. You know, would the Giants have been good if Barkley was on the team?
No.
Like, no, he wasn't wrong.
No.
So, yeah, it was scratchy with them. And maybe it will or won't be here. The Bills rarely seem to have any kind of internal drama. Happened a little bit with Diggs. I wonder if there will be a wide receiver storyline. I would think there would.
They would be insane at HBO to not have like Keon Coleman front and center. That kid's personality.
Well, that too.
Just bursts off the. So I think, you know, he has to be someone that they I predict he has he has moments that have people talking about him and the Bills.
I would think so. But I mean the thing with Bean after the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Like, how much is there? This can wait. Hard Knocks, it's not like they're trying to bust you when they go into your facility and start filming. They're not trying to bust you. But they are looking for interesting storylines, and if everything's fine, that's not interesting. Mm-hmm. We know from this over the years, you know? Sometimes it's not the best team that is the most interesting to talk about. So I think that would be kind of – that's kind of the concept is what within – certainly Josh Allen will get all kinds of adulation and all of that. There's not much with the Bills that really comes off negatively. The wide receiver criticism is loud enough, though, and the scene that Bean made after the draft with the guys in the morning, you know, that was a news story. That was league-wide.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, if I'm HBO, that's something, like, that's a storyline I'm following.
I agree.
Are the Bills receivers good enough?
Yeah.
You know, they don't separate. They're relatively slow. Coleman within that is kind of an interesting personality, too, like you said. I would think, you know, Bean would talk about that. Maybe he'd even have his fun at our expense mm-hmm. or at the fans' expense when it comes to this topic.
I think if they have anything to say about it, the Bills themselves, I would expect them to lean into that. I mean, they did in their own post-draft video sort of make that the opening portion of that was people reacting to what Bean had done on our morning show. So I think the Bills probably want that out there.
Or at least just...
Or at least they did.
I would say at least Bean wouldn't be afraid of it. Like
right.
he wouldn't, I would guess he wouldn't want to sort of avoid the subject because of how he attacked it, you know, before. And then he kept doing media and kept talking about it. So I would think that.
I can hear the narrator already focusing on Coleman and mentioning, you know, the general manager, you know, said what he said back in April after the draft, and Coleman is going into year two and an uneven whatever. I can hear it absolutely is ready made. That's why he's the first guy I thought of. I was thinking more about him, like in his personality, but the storyline, it would be almost ridiculous if it wasn't presented in that way.
Yeah, no, of course it will be. And I think Palmer, like the way Bean, the line from Bean for me that resonated isn't what he said to Jeremy and Joe. It's how when he talked to Tyler Dunn, and you could read the transcript, he's like, basically, don't say I didn't do anything. I signed Joshua Palmer. And for me, that's like, okay. I mean, we'll see how that goes. Maybe he's good and we just have never seen it yet in the NFL. I don't dislike the signing. I just don't think of it as momentous, or it would never be something where I'd want to sort of push back if I were he.
Look,
I got Joshua Palmer here. Like, okay, it's not trading for Diggs. All right. There's one downside here that we'll get to, this Hard Knocks. It's not all good. 803-0550 is the number. We'll talk about the Bills game in Atlanta today with Joe Patrick. 92.9 the game in Atlanta. That'll be at 4. Welcome your calls. The Tush Push stays. Hard Knocks is coming and more. Lines are open. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.